Couple announcements for you this morning. The first being that next weekend is our parenting workshop that we're putting on here with Pastor Jep. Is going to be doing a lot of teaching, just parenting foundations, as well as we're going to have real ROL families or parents are going to be up and be a part of a panel. So once Pastor Jep teaches on something, you get to hear about just real life situations that some of our parents in our church are going through and how they're trying to implement these biblical foundations. And so we're expecting really good things from that weekend. If you need more information on that, it's on our website. You can get it from the info desk or at the office. Today is the last day for the early bird registration, so the cheaper price. So if you want to be a part of that, you can do that today. And lastly, that we have a prayer vigil coming up this Saturday. It starts at 8, ends at 2, so you can come for as much or as little as you can. It's always a great night. Just going to invite one of our elders, Gary Stevenson, to come and give an announcement this morning.
Good morning. I have an exciting announcement to make, and it's hot. Came out of our eldership meeting this month, and we're going to be offering a financial discipleship kind of group and kind of exploring that together. We're calling it the financial ship. No, I don't know what we're... I don't have a name for it. So we just, as a church, we want to help you along in all areas of your discipleship. And finances is a natural part of life, and it's one of the most common things that Jesus talked about. So we want to kind of walk that through with you. It's sometimes hard to kind of look at yourself and go, how do I measure my discipleship in this area or that? And the great part about finances is you can take, and it's an extremely measurable part of your life, depending how well you do your checkbook. I'm not sure. Anyways, we just wanted to meet on Saturday night. We don't want to add another night to your already busy schedule. So we're looking at Saturday night before the vigil at 7 o'clock. We're going to come, we're going to kind of share together, walk through together. It's going to be a time, it's not just going to be practical stuff, it's not just going to be teaching, but it's also a time of walking together and exploring together. There's going to be myself, Steve Funk, and Kelly Wires. We're the elders who are kind of helping to head the thing up. We're not going to say we have all the answers, but we're happy to explore them with you. So if you're one of those people who are thinking, when it comes to giving, you think, well, I can't afford to right now, or you're thinking, maybe when I get out of debt, I can start exploring that. Or maybe you're one of those people who just thinks, I know I'm called, I think I have a call to give over and above, far and away, and I just don't know how to proceed in that. We just want to kind of get together, pray together, explore together, share together, give some testimonies of what we've seen God do in our lives, and we're just excited for what God wants to do in our body and in our church. So come on out Saturday. And if Saturday doesn't work for you, please contact one of us and just let us know. Hey, I'm interested, but that's not going to work for me, and we'll see what we can arrange. So come on out Saturday before the prayer vigil, and then slide on into your vigil time. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. We have a baby dedication this morning, and so I'd like to invite Glenn and Natalie Strunks to come up and to bring Silas Glenn with them, and if there's any family members that would like to join you. Yeah. While they come, I also want to say it's nice to have a number of our Nepalese-speaking folk who are normally at our 2 p.m. service, where we translate that service into Nepalese. Anyways, they're here today, and maybe they would give us a wave. Can you wave us? I can't say that in Nepal. Sorry. So they have an event in Calgary this afternoon, so they don't miss a service. They've come to an earlier, and it's lovely to see you all with us. I'm going to need maybe a handheld mic here, if I could. All right. Good morning. Is this more family coming to join us? All right. Well, maybe one of you take a moment just to introduce everyone.
Good morning. This is Glenn's dad over here, Ben Stronks, and then my younger sister, Jessica Arkell, and then my mom and my dad, Rick and Deb Arkell, and then Hope and Silas. Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to have your whole family. Thank you for coming to join us today. When we do child dedications and baptisms, it's really important for us to have the family around. Because it's also our way to honor you. So I appreciate it when people treat my children that way. From the moment my children are born, I've been praying for them and loving them long before they met everybody else that came along. And so really, we come as an answer to your hopes and prayers to serve your hopes for your children from those early times. And so thank you for coming. And maybe you'd like to say a little word, would you, about Silas Glenn? Do you have names or name or anything you'd like to say about him?
Yeah, I guess I can just say why we chose Silas Glenn. When we were pregnant with Hope, even Silas was just a name that we really loved a lot. We liked it that it was a biblical name and that he was a missionary with Paul and really displayed a servant and a faithful heart to the Lord. And then the reason I chose the name, or I kind of chose the name Glenn, was that I wanted. And we wanted Silas to be able to pattern his life after a man that he would really respect and that loved the Lord and, that he could kind of call his hero. And the only person or the best person to do that would be his dad, Glenn. And so that's why I really wanted that as the middle name. And then our prayer for Silas when he was born was just that he would be a man that seeks to know, trust, and follow the Lord with his whole heart, and that he would have a soft, gentle, and humble spirit, but also a man of confidence that led his life with conviction and love. So that's our prayer for him.
Okay. Thank you. So I see why you didn't play much of a hand in choosing the name. Yeah, so she said to you, let's choose him after the man that we most respect. It'd be hard to put your own name forward. Wow, what a lovely thing to hear a wife say about her husband. Well, let me ask you a few questions and then together we'll pray for Silas Glenn. Of course, the reason we ask families these questions is because we are dedicating him on the faith of his parents. So he's not yet at an age where he is able to receive blessings or ask for blessings or exercise his faith. But he has parents at this stage that are doing that on his behalf. And so right from the beginning of the people of God, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I will bless you and your children and your children's children. And he received blessing for people that weren't even born yet. For generations to come, he stepped into those things in faith. And so the faith of parents is effectual on behalf of their children. So Glenn and Natalie, do you believe in one God who has revealed himself as a Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your own Savior and Lord? Do you present Silas Glenn to the Lord Jesus, earnestly desiring that he will belong to the Lord and expectantly believing that he will one day believe the gospel for himself? And do you promise to teach Silas Glenn by the example of your own lives the truths, duties, and privileges of the Christian faith? And may the Lord enable you to faithfully keep those pledges. Well, I wonder if the wee man would come to me. Oh, aren't you a handsome wee thing, eh? Look at you. Do you want to see everybody? Me? Look at him. I might just have to keep this one. Oh, aren't you something? Okay, yeah. You want to reach and grab that? Okay. Can you see him on this side? What a handsome wee man. All right. Well, congregation, maybe you would, if you're comfortable with our tradition, you extend your hand toward him and toward his family. And together, let's pray a blessing on him. Maybe you'd think of some blessing that's strong in your household. One of the ways that God has particularly blessed you, and it's your right to give away. You gonna stay with me? We'll try. Let's dedicate him. So Silas Glenn, you okay? I dedicate you to God. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and in accordance with your parents' faith, I offer you to the God of heaven and earth, and pray that from the top of your head to the sole of your little feet, that you would belong to him all the days of your life. And today we welcome you into the covenant relationship that your parents cherish with God. We welcome you into that covenant. We welcome you into the privileges of that covenant. And so that all the graces and all of the gifts that are poured out upon their parents in Jesus' name, that they would likewise be poured out upon you. That you would know even from this young age the presence of God reaching out to you. That even from this young age you would know the discernible voice of God. And that you would know the love of God and see that love in the eyes of your mom. And in the eyes of your dad as they look upon you. And so Father, we pray that your great love and affection would be revealed first of all through his parents. And it would cause him to look directly to you and know you for himself. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to come, to cover you, to bless you and fill you, and begin this journey of bringing you to the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, congregation, offering a child to the Lord lays responsibilities upon all of us. We are welcoming him into the visible church of Christ. Will you be faithful to your calling as members of Christ's church so that Silas Glenn and all other children in our midst may grow up in the knowledge of Christ? And if you'll take your responsibility toward him, would you stand to your feet and just say, we will, God being our helper. And so we welcome you into our midst and welcome him to be part of our church family, and we will do all that we can do to support you as a family. Let's put our hands together and welcome him. Put an extra hand there. Ooh, good. God bless you. Nice to meet you, sir. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, sir. Nice to have you. Nice to have you. Good to see you. Oops, I missed you.
Good morning. Have to admit that child dedications have taken on a little different impact for me now that my grandson's around. It's like, oh, those two guys could be buddies. We better pray for him. Kind of neat to think that we're building something into ongoing generations, not just about what's going to happen in the next 20 years, but what's happening in that next generation and the generation after that and so on. Gail, I'd like to go to Acts chapter 11 first rather than second, so you can make that adjustment. That'd be great. Just wanted to also remind you, we mentioned that we're going to Africa, to Kenya, the first couple of weeks of April. If that's on your heart, we need to know quickly. So even if you're not sure, you could just touch base with me here or during the week at the office. Just want to start to know whether we are booking 8 tickets or 10, that kind of thing. So that would be helpful. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. I want to continue to talk about what does it look like to build this church? And what does this journey look like? And how might we ensure that we're staying on the road? And what might be part of that picture? Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists or Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came, he saw the grace of God, and he was glad. He exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you that you are building your church. And we ask that again this morning you would generously pour out the Spirit of Jesus upon us, and that we might build and move in his power, with his direction, and that we would see a glorious church built here. Amen. So last week we started our conversation out of Acts chapter 9. And Luke's sort of summary statement that said that to this point in the journey of the church, they had done two things. They had walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And last week I talked about the fear of the Lord and how that might guide us as we make this journey forward into building a glorious church. And I thought Ryan summarized it well when he said, walking in the fear of the Lord means that we would hold fast to our trust in Jesus, and we would hold loosely everything else. And that we wouldn't hold so fast to our ideas or our agenda or how it was done in the past or how we like to see it done. And we would submit how we build to the builder of this thing, who is Jesus. And that it's his church and he's the head of this operation. And we would walk in the fear of the Lord. But Luke also says that they walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to focus our attention on that this morning. As a church, we talk about ourselves as a convergence church. That's how we want to build. We want to build with these three main streams of Christianity as part of how we build. The evangelical, historic, and charismatic. And we talk about those here as sort of, my picture of them is sort of the three of the four corners of what we're building. That we're building on Christ, but that the other sort of shape of our building is informed by these three streams of Christianity. The first of those being, one of those being Scripture. That very sort of physical, concrete thing, the Word of God, and so it brings to us some of those kinds of characteristics of being solid and physical, and I can read it, and I can hold it, and I can point you back to it. And it's our guide and our a light into how we walk. It engages not only my heart, but also my mind, and I can wrestle with it and think about it and understand it in deeper ways. But we're also building with a high value on sacrament. Sacrament being a visible sign of an invisible grace. So whether it's in baptism, the visible sign of the people going under the water and coming back out of the water, the significance is about the invisible grace that is being bestowed on those people as they enter into the church. Similarly, table and the bread and the wine being those physical things that impart to us an invisible grace as we partake in the Lord's Supper. And so that those things around sacrament bring to us some solemnness and some sense of the holy. And so there is something different about a table that is reserved for one purpose alone, a purpose that is set apart to bring us the grace of God in a special and unique way. And so we have values around those kinds of things. And it bridges us. Sacrament will bridge us to the universal church. That in baptism we are entering not only this church, but the church universal across time and space. That in communion we are breaking bread, one bread with the church across time and across this city, across this country. But we're also a charismatic church. We're also building with the Spirit. And so around Spirit, we tend to talk about things like power and the presence of God. And that's we talk about it as having weight. We talk about the Spirit as being a wind that would blow and move among us. And so it's something that tends to be a bit more unexpected, perhaps, or unseen, and we're not, it's more difficult, at least for me, to find language to describe that. But when I think about the Spirit, the word that doesn't, I don't use Luke's word. Particularly not in my past. If you had talked to the Spirit, about the Spirit with me, even 10 years ago, my first word would have been discomfort, not comfort. Because I'm new to the things of the Spirit. I grew up in the evangelical stream of Christianity. And in my particular version of that stream, we talked about the Holy Spirit, but only in the statement of faith. And we said we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's leave it at that. God's with you. Don't be messing around with that. Let's not get him off the page and let him move around and do unseen things and talk about heart things. That didn't work. I was talking to my uncle who grew up in this same stream. He's in hospital. And there was some of his family around, also part of this stream. And so I wanted to pray with him. And so I said, Uncle Gerald, what's on your heart? And his sister, who was sitting there, said, oh yeah, his heart. His doctor's also worried about his heart. There's no concept, though. Let's not go to that heart stuff with us Mennonites. That doesn't work. And so I was taught, certainly the Spirit was there, but he was something that we sort of kept reserved in certain areas. And we appreciated what he did in Acts, but he doesn't do that anymore, really, is what we were taught. That was something that was needed back then. It came for a particular purpose. But the idea that we would operate in the things of the Spirit here and now was something that was said, well, no. Let's appreciate it from afar. Let's just be thankful we've got the Word. That's where we camped out. And so there was a great deal of skepticism and prejudice in my heart towards the things of the Spirit. And God started to break those things down. And so when God started to move me, he placed me in a church that was all about the Spirit, into a charismatic church, and there was all kinds of discomfort for me. I didn't understand the language. I didn't understand why I was always crying. And so it was very uncomfortable. But Luke says the church walked in the comfort of the Spirit. And it's a significant word. Comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because the word comfort that Luke used is exactly the same word that Jesus used when he announced that the Holy Spirit was going to come. In John chapter 14, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter or helper or counselor, whatever word your translation has chosen. But it's the same word in the original language that Luke uses to say they walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So he could have said, if he was following John's example, they walked in the comfort of the comforter. They walked in the essential elements of who the Holy Spirit was. They moved and operated exactly in that place. And it was a place of comfort for them. If we go back to the story in the book of Acts, at the start of the church in Antioch, I suspect there was a fairly high level of discomfort. It says that the church in Antioch was started as people fled the persecution in Jerusalem. And it says the people in Antioch that began this process were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. So if you go back to Acts chapter 8, Luke talks about the specific people. It's Philip and some of these deacons that were part of this. So I kind of wonder if these men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they didn't particularly maybe have a particular role back in the Jerusalem church. They're just leaving because there's persecution. And they're refugees. And so when the Holy Spirit prompted them to say, now you're going to be my witnesses in the city, they might have been a tad uncomfortable. Even more so when the Spirit said to them, I'd like you to talk to the Gentiles. Because as we saw last week, up till this point, the church had grown within a Jewish context. And Luke says, up till this point, they had preached the word only to the Jews. But on coming to Antioch, the Holy Spirit comes upon these men and says, I want you to take the message to the Gentiles. There's some discomfort there. How is that going to work? Do we use the same message that Peter brought to the Jews? Will they understand that message? How do we talk about the things of God to a people who don't have the Old Testament context? There must have been some discomfort for those new believers. It says the hand of God was upon them, and God moved mightily in their midst. These were believers who didn't have the context of temples and God's presence and stories of clouds and pillars of fire. So there was some discomfort for them. But for Greeks, the hand of God, that's, hand of God is a real thing. That's Hercules. What's he going to do? Swipe you out? There has to be some interpretation. The Spirit has to equip and overcome the discomfort that the men of Cyrene have, but also help to translate, if you will, the message that they're giving so that they can understand it. And the Spirit did that in a wonderful way. Many people, it says, responded to the Lord, because part of the essential nature of the Holy Spirit is that he interprets. And that not understanding language or not being sure of things is part of where discomfort comes from. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us and interpret things for us. And so it doesn't matter what you come to this point in your journey with. What's the language that you're comfortable with? That you grew up in an evangelical stream, and so there's a certain language that follows that stream, or a historic stream, and you say, well, that's the language you use to talk about it. The Holy Spirit will speak your language, and he will interpret the things of the Spirit to you so that you might understand them and that you might enter into them with comfort. Not without some risk, but with comfort, that the Holy Spirit is someone who comes alongside of you. And that wherever you're at in your journey, that it is safe for you to take the next step with the Spirit, whatever that might be. That he wants to invite you into more of the things of the Spirit. But he will do that in a way that you can relate to, that you can understand, and he will ask you to take a step forward. I imagine there was some discomfort in Jerusalem when the word came back that there's revival in Antioch. And it says when the Jerusalem church heard about what was happening in Antioch, they sent Barnabas up there. And at least part of why they sent them is because there was some discomfort for them. This thing is growing fast. There's been persecution in Jerusalem, and so they're scrambling just to keep things together there. And now suddenly there's revival in Antioch, and we didn't really send the men of Cyrene up there to do that, but now it's happened. And so there's questions and they're wondering, how does that look? But it says that Barnabas came up, and when he came, he saw the grace of God. Part of what Barnabas did as a man full of the Spirit is he authenticated that what was happening in Antioch was of the Spirit. And I think that's often what I hear, especially from folks who have had a charismatic experience. That I've talked to numbers of people who say, it was a good experience, but then somehow it got wonky. And they got uncomfortable and something. But part of the essential nature of the Spirit is that it can be discerned, it can be guided, it can be taught. It's not all spirit and wind and fire. part of what Barnabas did as a man full of the Spirit is that he exhorted them to remain faithful. The word exhorted is the word comfortable. He comforted them to remain faithful. That's the same idea again. That part of this, of his teaching and his exhortation to these new believers, to the establishment of the church, part of his training of those leaders, the men of Cyrene and Cyprus, was that he guided, along with the Spirit, what was happening. Him and Paul spent an entire year teaching. And so when we talk about more of the Spirit, it's not... When I worked in business, we bought one of those weird fan things. Have you seen these sort of flag things that people stand on the side of the road and it's this guy that does this? Exactly. That's not what it looks like. So of course there's some, the Spirit is wind. But it's not just this random flinging around. That part of how the Spirit moves, part of his comfort is that there's direction, there's purpose, there's teaching around it. It's not purposeless and random and that those things that would make us uncomfortable. And to say, how do we know how the Spirit is? Can I send my... Is James teaching junior youth things about the Spirit? And how's that going to be? And are my kids safe over there? What happens when we teach them how to hear God for themselves? And now they've got 13-year-olds giving words to other 13-year-olds. And is that good? Well, there's teaching around those things. That's part of how the Spirit operates, is that he's a defender and a protector. One of the ideas of that word comforter, it can also be translated advocate, like a legal advocate, a lawyer that would speak on our behalf, that would say, no, this is the preferred direction that we would go. And so when revival broke out in Antioch, the church, the leaders in Jerusalem had some discomfort, but the way the Spirit moved was he defended what was being built there. He guided. He was part of the teaching. In some ways, Luke doesn't even make a distinction between the work of the Spirit and the work that Barnabas, a man full of the Spirit, was doing. It's all part of this move of the Spirit to say it's not to be uncomfortable. That part of his comfort is instruction and teaching. And so that's part of our commitment here at River of Life. We talk about it as saying we want to pastor well the things of the Spirit. And so we want freedom and we want expression. We want the gifts to move, but we're going to also pastor those things. And so that's why you'll see when Steve has a word that he'll come down and sit at the front and he'll chat with Ryan or myself or Todd. And it'll be, it's not just, he doesn't just come up and take the mic, that we're trying to discern together. Lucille was telling me how her and Steve Crawford are often connecting on a Sunday morning to say, what's God saying? And they're praying as part of our service into what God is trying to do in our service. We're trying to pastor and move that well. It shouldn't be uncomfortable. Part of what we're committed to, part of how the Spirit operates, is that he operates in comfort. That it's a guided tour. It's not just sort of, all right, we're into the things of the Spirit. Everybody run off. He serves as a guide. He knows what's the best next thing for us as a church. He knows how to best bring us into those things. And I wonder if when you've got the kind of explosive growth that you see in the book of Acts, if in some ways you could imagine there would be discomfort even in heaven around how this thing is going. And will it stay true to the base that started in Jerusalem? Those people had seen Jesus and people knew about him, and so it was easy to keep a focus on Jesus there. But what happens when it gets into this Greek world, and what does it look like, and how do we know Jesus isn't going to become Hercules or some weird thing? Well, it says, Luke says, in Antioch, the end result was that the disciples were first called Christians in that city. It's the first place they identified this new faith as people who followed Christ. That's amazing to me. That all the focus on the Spirit, the people in Antioch didn't say, oh, you're part of that group that's all about the Spirit. No, they said, oh, you're part of that group that follows Christ. Because that is the essential nature of the Spirit. He is someone who will guide us further into Jesus. He will reveal, he will point to, he's a witness of Jesus. And so there's great comfort in that, is there not? That it's Jesus who walked among us. It's Jesus who took on flesh. It's Jesus who bridges this, is this wonderful bridge for us between the physical world and the spiritual world. Because he is part of both. And so if the Spirit is moving us in that direction, if as a result of a move of the Spirit, we will understand Jesus more, we will have a new revelation of who Jesus is, oh, I'm up with that. That's good. That's safe. That's comfortable. That's good. It's been a hard week to work on a sermon about the Spirit. Hasn't been very comfortable for me this week. Because I think I feel a bit like what some people must have felt like in this situation of this church that's just moving along in leaps and bounds, and now we're in Antioch, and what's going on? And how are we going to shape this, and what's it going to look like in the end? And so knowing on one hand that my journey this far has been very, very comfortable with the Spirit means I've had to do some uncomfortable things, but the comfort of the Spirit has been with me in those steps. So some of those first steps looked like being willing to sit at the front, not at the back, to come forward for prayer. Simple things, but there was some discomfort in my heart back at the beginning of this journey. And now, the difference in my life from 5 years ago to now is remarkable, in that the things of the Spirit are part of my daily life. And it's good. And yet, this last week, and probably beyond that, there's a growing sense of discomfort for me. And it feels like I'm being maneuvered into a bit of a corner. In that the things of the Spirit are more needful, but I'm less sure I'm prepared to grab them. Or open my hand to them. Grab them is probably not the right picture. But to receive them. And I wonder if for some of us who have walked this journey together over the last however long you've been here, but if you've been here 5 or 6 years, and this is not a new theme for us, saying we want more of the Spirit. But I wonder if you might also be experiencing some discomfort to say, it's not that I don't love the things of the Spirit, but there's a sense in which I'm seeing that the way I interact with the Spirit is not sufficient for the task ahead. That it doesn't look anything like it did in Antioch for me. That I still, for the most part, want to be in control of those things. That I'm not abandoned to the Spirit for the most part. I'm all up. Yeah. I'll cheer him on. But cheer him on more if he's working with you than with me, maybe. And so I wonder if for some of us it's time to, acknowledge that the discomfort that we feel is calling us to be all in with the Spirit. That we would abandon any other option but the Spirit. That we would become like those Olympic athletes, obsessed with one thing. That it would consume all of our lives. That's all we would think about. Would be to walk in the comfort of the Spirit. David talked about it this way. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the place where God's glory rests, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing. Part of my discomfort in these last weeks is that I'm still taking comfort from other things. I'm looking for solutions in old places. That part of walking in the comfort of the Spirit is to be abandoned to him. You don't experience the comfort of the blanket unless you actually crawl completely under it. Somehow. And so we're all at different places. That's part of the beauty of this congregation, is that we represent so many different places with the Spirit. But part, whether your understanding is like mine was a few years ago, very preliminary, where it's a beautiful journey, and some of you have been great mentors and examples and teachers for me. In the end, the comfort comes in the form of a person, not a particular aspect of that person, not something he does. Will he heal me? Not that we shouldn't ask for that. But in the end, we're asking for full engagement with a person of the Godhead, that we would walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to use these last moments for you to just ask for some of that comfort. Wherever it is that you're at, Belinda's going to come and we're going to just pray together for a few moments. And so you can just set your Bible aside and just position yourself to hear from the Spirit. The Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to bring some of his comfort to you. He wants to sit beside you this morning and to allow you to enter in to his comfort. Whatever that question might be, whatever that part of your heart might be, he has some things to say to you. He's going to bring you comfort in a way that fits for the thing that you're carrying. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in greater measure. To rest with great comfort upon each individual in this service. We ask you to silence fear and distraction. And as you sit in the comfort of the Spirit, why don't you bring your discomfort to him, whatever that is. Maybe it's just saying, I just don't understand it. It's a new journey. Would you teach me the first steps? Bring that discomfort to him. Maybe it's a past church experience, place in which in which the things of the Spirit were not taught and pastored well. Maybe he's raised something else in your heart. There's something specifically on your heart this morning that causes you discomfort. Just say, Holy Spirit, would you talk with me about that? And then would you just listen? Allow the Spirit to bring to your mind His voice and His words and His comfort. Don't worry about thoughts that say, well, I won't hear anything, or that doesn't make sense. Just let them keep traveling. Just stay on the things that the Spirit brings to your heart. Allow Him to be your comfort. The Spirit may raise some things for you where you've looked for comfort in other ways. You might exchange those two options. Say, okay, I'll give that one up and I'll accept you instead. Ways in which you've treated the Holy Spirit like a vending machine and said, well, I'll just pick this one or that one. Spirit, we abandon ourselves to your comfort. And we, as a congregation, we want to see you move freely and without at your initiative. In your way, in your time. But we know that without your presence, there's no point. Only you will do. Only more of you will do.